So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dan. Hope you're well today. So normally we don't get involved with political things. We don't get involved with religious stuff. We don't get involved with royalty kind of things. But today, this is kind of pissing me off, to be perfectly honest with you. So I thought, let's approach this subject. And just for the record, I'm not a royalist whatsoever. In fact, probably quite the opposite. But if that's what floats your boat, and that's what we're going to talk about, boats, then that's great. Bully for you. Wonderful. If you met Princess Diana 30 years ago, wonderful. I'm very happy for you. But when this... When this floats over, another boating analogy there, when this floats over into taxpayers' money having to spend extra for something extra, it gets enough for me. And so this is really what I want to talk about. And so we're talking about 190 million quid, folks, for a boat, for the Queen and her friends and family to go on. And okay, if they want that, that's fine. They can pay for it themselves. But if you're asking for taxpayers' money, we've got to ask, is this good value from a taxpayer's point of view? And I get the argument that the Queen and her extended family bring in a large amount of money, but how much extra money will a new royal yacht actually bring in? I'm not guessing that much. But then when we talk about value for money, we got to talk about what else can we spend that money on? And this is a question not just about the royal family, by the way, but this is a question for us that we should be actually answering ourselves as well. You know, do you need that new car? Like, you've got a car and it works great. You got a brand new car. How much extra value is that actually bringing into your life? And I'm guessing it's not that much. You know, if you got a £1,000 X-Trail, 80% of why you need a car is probably covered by that £1,000 car. Buying a £25,000 BMW, the extra 20%, is that extra great value considering you're going to spend 25 times more? And I would guess that the answer is no. And really, that's what we're talking about with this royal yacht. So what I did just before we came live was I was looking at, and I think I typed in, the top 10 cities in poverty in the United Kingdom. And so I've got a couple of ideas what we could do with this money, actually. And I think you probably quite like it. It's very socialist, and as a capitalist type person, you know, socialism has its, you know, merits in some areas, and certainly in helping people at the very bottom. Absolutely, 100% all for that. That's what taxpayers' money should be using, not the people at the very top. I don't know how wealthy the Queen is in terms of the world's most wealthiest female, but I'm guessing she's top 10, right? So we're using taxpayers' money to benefit the top wealthy in this country. And that right now, I have an issue with that. And if you haven't got an issue with that, I think you need to take a serious look at what's going on in the world. Like, we got kids. My wife's a teacher, and she was special education needs at a school in Bingley for a long, long time before we moved out to Spain. And she's seen it. You know, she's seen kids coming in with all sorts of stuff going on at home. And I've heard stories too, you know, and I know you've heard these stories too as well. And so I don't mind the royals paying for their own yacht, but I don't understand why taxpayers are paying for the people at the top to have a nice new boat when people at the very bottom. And so this idea of trickle-down economics, which we know doesn't work, I'd like to flip that on its head. And I'd like to go for, what did I call it? Let me see how I wrote it down. I'd like to call it something different. Bottom-up economics, that's what we call it. It's not trickle-down, it's bottom-up. And so what we do here is we take the very, very poorest in our society, and I've got a crazy idea. We help them. Like, I know it's crazy, and I know it's totally wacky and far out, but I mean, just imagine actually helping people who are not in a position to help themselves. That's just crazy. It's just, you know, especially with this Tory government, if you're disabled and in a wheelchair of some kind, brilliant. The Tories are out to kill you. That's what it seems. And it's just this crazy idea of actually helping people at the very, very bottom of society, people in poverty, people who are queuing at food banks and can't afford to put an extra bar on the fire because they haven't got that money. It's a crazy idea, but let's roll with it for a few moments and see where it takes us, shall we? Okay, let's pull up the top 20 I've got here, most deprived parts of England. I'm going to give you the top 10 and see where you are on this list, if you're in here. Now, one thing just before I run through this top 10 list is that not every area, so for example, we've got Manchester's number 12. Not every area in Manchester is poverty riddled, okay? And so we should also be looking at the individual areas within these locations that have the greatest poverty. Let me give you a top 10 list. Number one, Middlesbrough. Number two, Burnley. Number three, Kingston upon Hull. Number four, Blackburn with Darwin? I don't know how you pronounce that. Number five, Stoke-on-Trent. Number six, Blackpool. If you've ever been to Blackpool, you'll know exactly what it's like. Number seven, Hackney. Number eight, Nottingham. Number nine, Thanet. Number 10, Hastings. Let me give you all of them. Number 11, Great Yarmouth. Number 12, Manchester. 13 is Oldham. 14 is Leicester. 15 is Rochdale. Number 16 is North East Lincolnshire. Number 17 is Newcastle upon Tyne. 18 is Salford. 19 is Bolton. And 20 is Harlow. And if you've ever been to Salford, you'd be like, no, I've been to Salford, Dan. It's really nice. And you're absolutely right. Some areas are really nice, but other areas are absolute poverty. And so when we're talking about 190 million quid, I've got an idea. Let me break this idea down for you. Look, I get all excited about this. How about this? How about we pick the top 10 places in the UK, okay? And we give them £19 million each. The maths works, folks. I've worked it out on my calculator. 10 places with 19 million. There's your 190. And now the 19 million has to last them 5 years. So that's 3.8 million per year for the next 5 years. Okay, the top 10 places are going to get just under 4 million quid. That's under £1 million a year to spend for the next 5 years. Okay, about 800,000. What can you do with 800,000? How many people can you recruit at 40 grand? Five? Let's say it's five. That's 200 grand. Now you've got another £600,000 for training. And the people, you know, the five people that you've recruited in each individual area, they go door knocking and find out what's going on with these families and help get them back into some sort of training, some sort of education or some sort of job of some kind. Because this is bottom-up economics. It's not trickle-down. It's bottom-up economics. We do this one by one by one. We take Bill. Bill's got three kids. He's a single parent. His kids are aged between 10 and 16. Brilliant. What are each kid going to do? What is the path for each kid? The 16-year-old, what is that? We call them NEETs, don't we? And not in education, training, or support. I don't know what we call them. But we do this on a one-by-one basis because when that 16-year-old doesn't go into education and doesn't go into a job and just ends up on benefits effectively, the money that goes out to pay them benefits is directly opposite to the money that that person would have if they went and got a job and then got taxed. Like, they don't even get charged tax, you know, for the first £10,000 anyway. But it reduces the tax burden that's required for everybody else. And I know it's a crazy, crazy idea, but imagine if you had one family with four people in it, all over the age of 18, all on benefits, all on housing benefit. How much does that cost on a monthly basis? £2,000 to £3,000 to £4,000 every single month, £50,000 a year per family. Like, let's target those people. Let's get every single one of those into some sort of employment, into some sort of training. And the training aspect is really, really important here. It shouldn't be something that should be chargeable. It should be free of charge. At some point, if I ever get to this stage, one of my far out dreams, especially because I come from Leeds, is to own a training company that resides in Leeds and it gives out free training. And it's going to be called something like Leeds City Council Can't Be Arsed. That's what I'm going to call that company. Because Leeds City Council right now should be offering this. And this money that's going out and being spent on a yacht, a royal yacht, for goodness sake, like, where are all the servants going to live? Do we call them servants or do we call them maids or butlers? Well, I think we're probably maids or butlers these days, right? Where were they all going to stay? On the yacht? I'm pretty sure the Queen, if she needs to, can make her own cup of tea. But no, let's pay on top of 190 million. Do you have any idea how much it costs to run a boat? I know the average is about 10% a year, and it's not quite as much as that. I'll call it 5%. That's still 4.5 million a year. So for the next 10 years, how about we move that 4.5 million into the next 10 on that list? Do you see where I'm going here, folks? like, I know I'm passionate about this and I get excited by this, but I can't work it out. Like, let's write a list. There's a guy, I can't find him, he's on Twitter, and he talks about list of things that we can't afford and then list of things that we can afford. So list of things that we can't afford. Pay rise for the NHS. Like, do you think the NHS in the last 12 months have done an outstanding job? Like truly outstanding under circumstances that nobody would have envisaged. And save Boris's life. Oh, I owe my life to the NHS. I tell you what we're going to do because I owe my life to you. Going to give you a 1% pay rise, which in real terms is a kick in the face, let's face it. In fact, the kick in the face would probably be less painful. A 1% pay rise is below the level of inflation. So it's actually the NHS people who work in the NHS are paying society to work in the NHS by 1% a year in real terms because of inflation erodes that 1% pay rise. It's just ridiculous. So things that we haven't got money for, kids in poverty, food banks, NHS. I mean, this list just goes on and on and on. Things we have got money for, £1 billion, was it, for the DUP, for Theresa May to stay in power? Do you remember that? What else have we got money for? A royal yacht. Like, I know that we're just talking about it right now, but these things have to be really talked about, and people are not talking about it. Well, it's the royal family. They're entitled to have a nice holiday. Yeah, a nice holiday, and they should be paying for it. How much land do they own? Like, I get the fact that people are driving traffic. The royal family drive footfalls to Buckingham Palace. We went to see Changing the Guard a couple of years ago. Wonderful for a couple of hours. Wonderful. Not worth 190 million quid, folks. How about this? How about bottom-up economics? How about we actually stop? You know, if we talk about why have aliens not landed, this is why aliens have not landed. We're too freaking stupid. That's why. Because we'd rather give people at the top more money than help the people at the very, very bottom, the lowest of the low, the people who are potentially homeless next week. Like, let's not help them. Let's not help them at all. Let's help the people at the top. That's a much better way of doing it. And let's get rid of the people at the bottom by sacrificing them, because that's ultimately what we're doing here as a society in the UK. I just beggars belief. Okay, I made a few other notes here. Improve access to help and support. Absolutely vital. Why are we not doing this? Why are we not helping other people as a society? Okay, and we all pay. I pay an awful lot of tax into the UK tax paying system, an awful lot of tax. And so it's not individuals that need to do this, but it's the system that we're paying into has to go, hold on, we need to help people. And why is the benefit system so difficult to, you know, the universal credit system? I've spoken to people on benefits because we have a couple of tenants. It is, why is it so difficult? Why are they purposefully trying to drive people to anxiety and stress and depression? Because that's ultimately what we're doing. How about we help people? It's just a crazy, crazy idea. And I know it's crazy. I get that it's totally crazy in 2021. Imagine helping people. Imagine helping people who are the lowest of the low. I saw something yesterday. It was on Instagram and it was a 100-year-old woman. And I can't remember which country, but they have basically 2 hours to shop and you have to apply for this online. So when the internet was invented, she was like 72 and now she's like 102. And because she doesn't know how to use the internet, she was rejected from the supermarket because she didn't have the right time slot just to go and get some food. But what sort of society are we where we're allowing this to actually help hinder people? I just cannot get my head around it. And I get passionate about it because it doesn't even take that many brain cells to work this shit out. I don't think it does. We just need to be nice to people and help people and understand that sometimes people fall down on a look. So instead of kicking them when they're down, how about we just help them? I know it's crazy. I get it's crazy. Each person who comes off benefits and onto a wage reduces the burden on the state, and that money can then be better spent elsewhere. And I love this idea. There was a TV program. And the woman who was starring in it is a kind of get out of debt person and get into a job kind of person. And she, you think I speak broad. She was much broader than I was. And it was a couple of years ago now. like 10 years ago kind of thing. And the 17, 18 year old kid who was on housing benefit and basically he was on a dole. And she would go in and would teach them budgeting, and then she would do the CV, and she went and got a job, helped get this guy a job stacking shelves, because somebody has to do it, right? Stacking shelves. That was my very first job. Wonderful job. Certainly as an intro into business and how things actually work, wonderful job, right? You know, I'm not one of these just over broke kind of people. If you've got a job, congratulations. Keep that job until you can get your next one, until you've got a side hustle and so on. I love the fact that people have jobs instead of just going off and, you know, hoping things work out. You need a job, right? But then when he got this job, his mum, because they were generationally unemployed, his mum didn't work and her mum didn't work. So they were generationally unemployed. And when he went and got this job, there was a massive issue around the fact that they were now working because it affected their benefits. And so there has to be some kind of positive response to people going out and bettering themselves, getting more education, getting more training, and going out and getting a job instead of this negativity that people have. I want to get us away from just over broke. I don't like that. I used to say it, just over broke, ha ha ha, J-O-B, just over broke. Like, having a job's a wonderful thing. I don't care what it is. You could be cleaning shit out of toilets. I don't care what it is. Bringing in an income is a lot of self-respect in that. Much better than relying on the state to pay your way. And so we got to help people move into this. And I think that we do this one by one, family by family, community by community. Even little things like teaching people how to paint. So you go up and down the poorest streets in the UK, okay? And you go door knocking and you go, we got a team and we're actually going to paint everything, right? We're going to do your garden for you. So we've got gardeners, we've got people who can paint, we've got people who can repair stuff. What have you got? Give us a list. Your gutter looks like it's hanging off. How about we fix that for you? And there, right there, in the very poorest of neighborhoods, you're not only training and teaching the people who are otherwise unemployed, but you're actually giving them some sort of skill. And in addition, you're bringing the quality of the neighborhood up. Because I'll tell you what happens, and some people disagree with this, and that's fine. You can disagree and you'd be wrong. Not a problem with that at all. I'm like this, right? When I come in and my desk is a little bit messy right now, and if I'm feeling down, I know that if I tidy up my desk, my positivity goes skyward, okay? And it is the same. The environment that you are in, if it's a messy environment, if it's a scruffy environment, we've just been painting the gym downstairs, which is what I'm going to next. And it actually inspires me to go to the gym more because it's a nicer environment, right? We know that this happens. And so why do we not do this in our local areas and our local communities? And we get the people who are not in job, not in training, that, you know, just hanging on the street selling drugs. And like, you might go, well, that's not everybody. And you're absolutely right. But it's definitely some of them. And I know this because I've seen them hanging out near my houses in Hare Hills in Leeds. And you phone the police and the police don't do anything. Let's round them up, get the child catchers out. And let's get them into some sort of training, and let's get them into some sort of pride over their local community. And we do this, we start one by one, and then we start family by family and community by community. This is not some pie in the sky, folks. It's also not easy to do, but it's definitely not some pie in the sky. We do it one by one by one. And the money that's been spent on the yacht can be much better spent doing some of these different things. All right, that's us for today. Nothing to do with business today. Well, it kind of is. Hopefully it inspired some of you to go, yeah, Dan, you've got some good points there. Look, we're live again on Wednesday. We're just trying to line up an interview, actually, for Wednesday. But if you can join us for that on the Property Cashflow Show, that would be awesome. Other than that, have yourselves a great day, and we will speak to you soon. My name is Dan Latto. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.